You're fine either way.
Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sangai Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday. QT and Sangai with you as normal. Real fast before we jump into it with our guest, if you're looking for some pro wrestling in the next couple of days, tonight, WCWO in Indianapolis, Resolute Wrestling in Crossville, Tennessee, PWAS in Detroit, Michigan, Kapow in Sevierville, Tennessee, ICW in Millville, New Jersey, EWA in Camden, New Jersey. Tomorrow night, at a secret location in Indianapolis, by invitation only, Flophouse Wrestling. You have Supreme Wrestling featuring the return of the Gift Jason Kincaid in Madison, Indiana, TWF in Chattanooga, Tennessee, GWA in Dania Beach, Florida, WXW in Mineola, Florida with their anniversary show, PWA in Springfield, Illinois, OWA in Jellicoe, Tennessee, NWP in Terre Haute, Indiana, NFW in Boonville, Indiana, TAPW in Morrison, Tennessee, BCW in Twin Lakes, Wisconsin, IWC in Washington, Pennsylvania, PWE in Lebanon, Tennessee, MPX in Bedford, Texas, and ALW in Burlington, North Carolina. Go find yourself a show if you feel safe enough to do so. There's a lot more shows opening up once again. And without further ado, I want to welcome our guests today. They are a tag team, Warhoss, Pat the Bruiser, and Crosshead Kelly. Welcome to the show. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having us, man. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having us.
Well, since it's your first time with us, we're going to give you the traditional first-timer question to start out, and we'll, I guess, go with Crosshairs Kelly. What led to you getting into the business of pro wrestling?
For me, I wasn't always a fan, like, as a kid, because, you know, like, my friends were a fan, like, really into it. I was kind of, like, nonchalant about it, but then I finally got to see the Hell in a Cell match with The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels, and that kind of started or planted the seed. It then led to just, like, continuously watching it and, you know, going to the live shows, and then eventually, you know, I started developing this passion for it almost, and just I wanted to do it super bad. So eventually I found a school, and I started getting trained, and then I made my way.
And Pat the Bruiser, what about you? How'd you get started in the business?
I've always loved wrestling. I've always liked watching it. I'm unconventional. I never really thought I'd be a wrestler, in all honesty. I just liked watching it. But then, like I said, one of my buddies decided to try out for school, and I got in that ring, and I've just been hooked ever since. And, yeah, my love for this business has gone up 10, 20, 100-fold. And I just, it's my addiction.
Now, being a tag team in today's marketplace, I'm sure, is a little bit tougher than in years previous. It seems like the tag team scene has really exploded over the past couple of years, both on the national level as well as the independent scene. There's a lot of really, really great tag teams. I know you two have been making big waves on the independent scene. But looking at the landscape of things, Crosshairs Kelly, how do you think you're doing as far as a tag team in such a crowded market?
You know, I feel like we're doing actually pretty well. I feel like we're to the point now where it's just that we need that one match or that one show, or that one opportunity to be seen, just so people can experience exactly what they do. They can hear us, they can see us, they can feel us, so that they get that vibe. Like you said, tag team wrestling right now is super hot, and it should be, because there's so many variables into it, so many different personalities, and so many stories that can be told. I mean, you have teams like, you know, the Gymnasties, the Rascals, Main Event, and like, these are guys that, you know, you want to work with, you want to be like, you know. And then you see the older guys like Butcher and Blade getting signed and, you know, making their names truly known if you didn't know who they were before. So I'm a big fan of the fact that tag team wrestling is booming right now, and I feel like it doesn't necessarily hinder us, but it just gives us more of an opportunity to, you know, shine more light on the tag team division in general.
Pat, I know both of you have done singles wrestling in the past, but you've been a steady tag team for the past couple of years. Do you think that the overall tag team scene has increased since you became a tag team?
Yes. Yeah, because it's been about a couple years now. The tag team scene's really starting to get a lot more attention and love that it really deserves. A lot more tag teams showing up, a lot more talent showing up, which is always a good thing, because you can always learn from everybody. So it's changed the last couple of years. You can definitely tell that tag team wrestling really starting to pick up fire and starting to become just as fun, like just as much to watch as a singles match. Most people wouldn't really care about tag wrestling until now. It feels, I feel like the love for tag wrestling is increasing.
Now, Pat, in the Ohio area where you guys are based from and in some of the surrounding states like Michigan and Indiana, that was largely Dick the Bruiser territory back in the old territorial days of wrestling. Dick the Bruiser, of course, a legend in that area. We have Dick the Bruiser Jr. that wrestles in that area still. Being Pat the Bruiser, is there some sort of connection to the famous Dick the Bruiser, or is that a happy coincidence?
It's not really tied to Dick the Bruiser. I got that name based off of Bruiser Brody. I just loved watching Bruiser Brody and just everything about Bruiser Brody. I watched and studied, so I just picked up that name pretty much based off of him.
Now, if you've not seen it, I suggest trying to find footage of Dick the Bruiser versus Bruiser Brody when they feuded over the Bruiser name.
Oh, I'll look that one up.
Yeah, I've seen that. That was actually pretty solid.
Crosshairs, it's a different animal today in independent wrestling than it was in the territorial days, where you can make a full-time living with wrestling pretty much any territory you went to. The economics of wrestling has changed a bit since that time, but in the last couple of years, we've seen a lot more people making independent wrestling a full-time job, where that's their sole means of income. Of course, that was prior to the pandemic halting a lot of things, but is wrestling full-time, be it on the independent level or even on a national level, a goal that you have, or is wrestling more of a sideline for you?
So when I first started training, like, I ran into a bunch of guys, and I always asked, you know, what's the best way to, you know, get into wrestling or, you know, to be successful, and they say don't wrestle. Because, like, our trainer was very open about, you know, it's going to cost, you know, money initially getting starting out. You know, you're going to have to build your name, you're going to, you know, build a brand for it to be recognized. And so the guys that have been, you know, surviving or living off of you know, wrestling or either on an independent level or on a national level. Like, I know a lot of these guys, you know, they were working part-time jobs or they were working, you know, to supplement their income until they were signed. So, like, you know, or they've gained the recognition to where they can go out and make a living, you know, working, you know, wrestling for, you know, 5 to 7 days out of the week, you know, as, you know, as like their, you know, their body allows them to do. So, like, I would love to, you know, make a living, a true living off of just professional wrestling where I could just, you know, sell merchandise and work shows, you know, or something to that, you know, extent. Or even, you know, if you know, the opportunity does come along where, you know, we're able to sign or on a national level or even just on a larger traveling promotion level, that would be awesome. You know, it's just, it's about the work you put in, it's about getting better, and it's about the hustle.
In the past few years, more than any time that I can recall, going to Japan to wrestle has been a realistic goal for independent wrestlers. There's a lot more independent companies in Japan willing to bring in American and Canadian wrestlers, where it was largely closed off to the independent level wrestlers before. Crosshairs, is Japan something on your goal list as far as a place to go wrestle?
Absolutely. Actually, Japan has been my number one goal for the longest time frame. Just the way they tell stories, the physicality of the style of wrestling there, and then the admiration and the respect that the wrestlers actually receive there is something that I find, you know, truly infatuating. I've sent footage to multiple wrestlers that have actually been to Japan, you know, trying to get feedback or, you know, let us know at least that we're on the right path. And some people have actually, you know, said, yeah, I think Japan would actually truly love you. It's just like the little details that you need to work on, and I think you guys could be successful. So when you hear that and you see that, you know, Japan is a tangible goal, it's something that makes you want to work harder to try to attain that.
Pat the Bruiser, what about you? Do you have wrestling in Japan on the goal list at this point?
Absolutely. So Japan, I've always loved their style. They're more like they're hard-hitting, they're physical. That strong style wrestling is something I've always enjoyed. Just two guys hitting each other. It's a place that I feel like it's a good place to work. Like I said, the way they treat wrestling over there is completely different than they treat it over here. And it's definitely been a goal of mine. It's always been a goal of mine. I would absolutely love to work in Japan.
Crosshairs, you mentioned selling merchandise a few minutes ago, and merchandise is something wrestlers have used for decades to try to supplement their income, whether it's selling T-shirts or glossy 8x10s or hats or what have you. It's somewhat become easier in the last decade because of the way technology is. It's easier to get products into the hands of consumers. But how important do you think merchandising is to yourself personally and to Warhawks as a tag team as far as building your brand and making money at this?
So like I said before, it's like you said, building a brand and getting your name out there. So initially, your merchandise, and not even initially, continuously, your merchandise is basically your advertisement. Somebody is literally your walking billboard. So they're wearing your shirt, or you know, you're wearing a wristband, or some maybe a cuff, like a gauntlet of some sort, some type of a sticker or a pin. These things are advertising to other people, you know. What is this thing? What is this entity? There have been times where people have seen the shirts and they're like, oh, that's a pretty cool shirt. You know, what is that? And, you know, you get to explain what it is. And so you may have a sale there. So it's just about building that brand, getting that brand recognition. That's the key, is getting recognized for your merchandise or getting recognized for your name.
if it comes up in discussion. And so you want to, you know, cater to your audience, obviously, but you also want to try some new things and different things. I know a big thing now is not necessarily copying, but pulling from common things that are known to people and making it your own. That way, when somebody sees that logo or they see that design, they know, oh, that's Warhaus, or they know, you know, oh, that's that one guy that, you know, who has a really cool gimmick. Or I remember seeing him at a show. I'll go ahead and get his shirt. So things like that. And then, like, wrestling fans are, like, really cool people a lot of times, and they'll, you know, they'll work and they'll earn their hard-earned money, and then they'll turn around and spend it, you know, at a wrestling show, and then turn around and buy 2-3 shirts or maybe, you know, a couple 8x10s. So it's really cool to see the full circle of it, especially like at the beginning of the pandemic, you know, when wrestling got started to get shut down, fans were literally reaching out to see what they could do to support either their local wrestlers or the wrestlers that they have seen in the past.
Pat, we have seen wrestlers slap a logo or a sticker on any number of products to try to sell them at merchandise tables across the globe. What would you say has been some of the strangest pieces of merchandise you've seen wrestlers trying to hawk to the fans?
I've seen a guy sell a rock to fans, like little rocks to fans. Yeah, there's a guy named Beast Man, and he's a caveman gimmick, and one of the things he sold at his merch table was rocks.
I hope some promoter somewhere saw that and put on their flyer, also appearing the Rock.
Smart.
I mean, they wouldn't be wrong.
Nope, not at all.
Well, a lot of tag teams have goals of certain tag team championships. We see a lot of tag team champions both on the national level, where some promotions have even two sets of tag team titles, and on the independents, of course, most companies have a tag team title. Crosshairs, do you have any certain championship that you think would most be desirable for you right now?
All of them. So the point of the champion is the best. So if you can be a tag team champion, or just a champion in general at a promotion, that means that promotion has faith in you. That means that you've shown and proven that you are the best, and that you're willing to work with the best, or, you know, fight the best. So right now, you know, Pat's held the Rockstar tag titles. I like to hold those. I think that'd be really cool. You know, I will also like to do AML tag titles because they're super pretty. But I would love to, you know, eventually work for ROH, or, you know, go down to Florida and work there and win some titles there. Or even, you know, go to, you know, AEW and work their champions right now, because FTR right now is the best tag team in my mind, obviously, with them winning the titles. You know, going to the Fed, they got two sets of titles. Who wouldn't want the history or the marker saying that you're a former world tag team champion?
Well said. Now, Pat, is there a certain championship that you think you're going to gun for in the near future, or are you, like your partner, you just want all the titles?
Yeah. I have the same mindset. As many as we can get, in my mind. So, yeah, all of them.
What that does is it opens up the door. Because if you're the best, and obviously, you know, the old quote of to be the man, you got to beat the man. So that means they're going to put every tag team that is worthy in front of you. So you have nothing but an opportunity to continue to learn and get better.
One of the tag teams that you guys have competed against in the not-so-distant past is currently on Impact Wrestling. They just returned from Wrestle House. I'm talking about Team Triple XL, Legendary Larry D, and AC Romero. They are a top tag team on the independent circuit for sure, and they are doing very well at Impact. Crosshairs, what was it like going against a team of that caliber?
So I had never been in the ring with Romero up until that moment. So just like we're walking in there, you know, thinking, you know, it's just another day, you know, it's a, you know, we're probably going to work some tag match and just call it a day. Well, it turns out, you know, you're the main event. You're working Ace and Larry as they get ready to debut on Impact. So, you know, when you hear that, that's just like, it gets your blood pumping. It gets you excited and it makes you want to do some things. So, like, both of those guys, for as big as they are, super agile, both of them have really great minds as far as it goes to storytelling and match structure. And honestly, I would work either one of them in a singles match, in a tag match, anywhere, any place, any time. It just, it doesn't matter. Both of them are top-tier talent. That's why they're dominating. And they're also big boys. And there's, and I got a mad respect for the big guys that are getting love because, you know, a lot of the flippies or the super agile, the super sporty guys usually get a lot of, you know, appreciation. They get a lot of the gifts. But when you got a big guy that can, you know, move around that ring like a cruiserweight, that changes the game a little bit. So both Larry and Ace are phenomenal talents, and it's the obvious reason that they're signed.
Pat, what were your impressions of the two of them when you wrestled them?
My first impression is it's a rarity that we're not the biggest people in the match. Taking on them, it was fun. They're one heck of a tag team, I'll tell you that much. Like I said, both of them got power, strength. Both of them got speed. So like I said, it's they're one heck of a tag team. They're one heck of a talent. Like I said, I've known a couple of them for a while now, and I'm glad to see they're doing good things because both of them deserve it. They really do.
On the independent scene, there is a singles competitor that has become well-known named Warhorse. I know that you guys also use the name Warhorse as a team name, and I'm sure there's a little bit of confusion in the marketplace at times with that. Now, Crosshairs, when Warhorse, the singles wrestler, was gaining traction and you were gaining traction as a tag team, how often did you have to deal with either the promoters or the fans having a bit of confusion over the name?
It was only one show, and it was just for some of the boys actually making fun of us in the back. There was never ever a confusion as far as that goes. I know there were some issues with, like, tagging on Facebook and Instagram where we would get tagged in his stuff and he would get tagged in ours. But once he started picking up traction, we kept an eye on him because we watched everything. We were just trying to see how far he would come over here, and then eventually he started making his way over to the East Coast, and we were like, let's talk about the Bullet. So I know they ended up changing our name at Rockstar to War Pigs, and we weren't feeling that at all. And they even said, you know, you wrestle two matches with this name, it sticks, you know. And then the promoter, CW, even said, you know, hey, if you don't like it, prove us wrong, give us something else to work with. So that night we ended up changing our name to War Hoss. You know, Jake has embodied the Warhorse element, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, the name for us was just kind of a drunken chicanery incident where we heard it was like an 80, late 80s, early 90s cover band. It was a rock band called Warhorse. So we just kind of were like, oh, that'd be a cool wrestling name. And so we kind of rolled with it. And then once he started getting trash, you know, some of our vets like Ron Mathis and Bruce Gray, DD Trash, they kind of were the main ones giving us all kinds of the blues about changing our names. And they would throw out dumb, stupid names that just pissed us off for no reason, just because they're children. And they just like poking the bears, and so they just like kept messing with us. But when Jake Fulton came in, Madman Fulton came in and was like, hey, guys, I want to talk to you. And it was about, you know, possibly changing our name before we came out with, like, merchandise and things like that, just because he was picking up steam. So when you have these vets coming at you, you know, saying, hey, you might want to make this change. Hey, you might want to do this. So when a vet offers you advice, like, the best thing to do is shut up and listen, you know, and take that advice, process it. And usually you need to act on it, because if they're giving you advice and they're taking the time out of their day to let you know what you need to do to be better or to, you know, advance yourself or to be prepared for an oncoming, you know, transition, you should be aware of that. You should use it, because if you don't, they're eventually going to stop talking to you and stop giving you advice. So we took it, we ran with it, we changed the name, and it actually caught on fairly easily. And a lot of people actually prefer that name over the name that we previously had. So the rest is history. But yeah, Jake Parnell is a super dope wrestler, embodies the gimmick, and so there was like no hard feelings at all.
Now, Pat, when you go in there as a singles wrestler, I'm sure it's a little bit different, but as a tag team, do you find it easier to market a team name and still kind of maintain a little bit of individuality, or do you go into it wanting to market primarily the team name and make that the brand that gets the bulk of the merchandising and the bulk of the marketing?
It's different marketing a tag team and your singles wrestling career, but my focus right now is tag team. My focus right now is this tag team and tag team wrestling. So when it comes down to merchandise and it comes down to any merchandise, like selections or anything else, it's tag team first. And that's what my mindset is right now. So if there's ever a T-shirt design, tag team T-shirt comes before anything. I do want to do singles. Because right now my sole focus is our tag team. It's the Warhawks brand.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by. I know he has questions also, so I'm going to give you boys over to QT.
Thank you, Sign Guy. Hello, Warhawks. Hello, Crosshair Kelly.
How's it going?
Not too bad. Not bad. Crosshair, I saw your YouTube video entitled Larry D and Ace Romero versus Warhawks, and Sign Guy just asked you some questions about them. At the 33-second mark, Ace Romero came through the curtain, and I immediately thought that he could eat half the hot dogs in a past Coney Island competition against eating champ Kobayashi. And keep in mind that Kobayashi held the mustard belt for 8 years in a row. Mr. Kelly, to your knowledge, has Ace Romero ever been to Coney Island on July 4th to participate in the hot dog eating contest and compete for the mustard belt?
Not that I know of, and I don't think he'll be going anytime soon. I don't know if you paid attention to Ace's social media, but he's been working really hard right now to drop weight and cut weight, and he's literally half the man that he was when that match was filmed. Like, the dude's been putting in a whole lot of work. So I don't think he's ever had participated in that contest, and I don't think that he'll be participating at any time in the future. He's really focused on, you know, getting in shape, working on his tag team, and, you know, solidifying his position at Impact Wrestling right now.
Oh, okay. Now, my stereotype of him and first impression of him may have been wrong, and I commend H. Romero if he has lost a lot of weight. I just immediately thought of the golden belt, mustard belt, and a hot dog eating contest, and I immediately thought that Ace Romero could probably put away 25 hot dogs, which may or may not be a bad assumption. Yes. But in a roundabout way, Crosshair, I'm asking you, how many hot dogs could you eat at the Coney Island hot dog eating contest? That's what I'm asking.
I could do some damage, though, on a Coney. I like a good Coney. But I am right now, we're both actually trying to work on our fitness as well, because I know that's one of a little bit of a barrier that we've been meeting up with. It's like, we're big boys, but, you know, losing, you know, 20 pounds here and there wouldn't hurt. So we're trying our best to eat right and do the right thing and just getting the best shape that we can. You know, Arn Anderson always says you don't have to have abs, but you just need to look like an athlete.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Crosshair, I'm going to guess that you've upped your intake of boneless chicken breast and maybe eating a lot of wild rice with maybe a gallon of water a day. Am I correct in this? Plus fruits and veggies.
Yeah, something like that. I actually like to cook, so I try my best to not have the blandest meal on the face of this planet. Because there's actually some really good, healthy meals out there. You know, the key is, like, avoiding the carbs and watching your intake. So
okay.
Just trying my best to, you know, do what I can to not be lazy, especially with everybody out there right now, you know, putting in a lot of work during the pandemic, you know, being locked at home. A lot of guys were, you know, working out at home or, you know, building their own gyms in their own places and just, you know, trying to get better. So it's really motivating, and it gets your attention and your focus when you see people, you know, evolving and elevating themselves. So it's something that makes you, you know, think about how much you truly want, you know, that brass ring.
Okay. Well, Mr. Kelly, say if you did manage to go to Coney Island, would you insist that they put spicy mustard on their hot dogs or just plain yellow mustard? Which one would you go
with? Plain yellow mustard. Plain yellow mustard.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, Pat the Bruiser, did you attend Ohio Pro Wrestling Academy at the same time as your partner, Mr. Kelly?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, same class.
How many people were in that class with you? How many walked through the doors on that opening day?
About eight.
I would say eight or ten.
Eight to ten, somewhere in that range. About eight to ten, if I can remember.
All right. How many people bowed out after the first day?
I think one bowed after the first day. Then a few more didn't last too much longer.
Well, Pat, when you finished your tryout and you passed the class, did you have a cap and gown ceremony, keeping in mind that Leaping Lanny Poffo sported the cap and gown? Did you have a graduation ceremony?
No, we didn't have a graduation ceremony. We got a certificate, though, for finishing. But
a certificate and finishing.
No cap and gown.
All right. Does that certificate hang in your house with high honors, that certificate?
Yes.
Did you have it framed and mounted?
It was already framed. Our trainer framed it for us. So.
Oh, all right. Okay, very good. Does it stand with your maybe high school or college diploma? That's what I'm asking.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, Mr. Crosshair, there have been many combinations in life, be it food, candy, sports color commentary, and even vehicle. For example, French fries will always be linked with ketchup. In candy, you have chocolate and peanut butter, like Reese peanut butter cups. In sports commentary, you had Dandy Don Meredith and Howard Cosell on Monday Night Football in the mid-70s to early 80s. Mr. Crosshair, do you yourself remember Dandy Don Meredith and Howard Cosell?
I do not think I do.
Oh, okay. Well, your homework assignment is to go on YouTube and look up Dandy Don Meredith, Howard Cosell.
Okay.
I know it's not really related to wrestling, but I link Dandy Don Meredith and Howard Cosell. The chemistry that they had between each other was much like the color commentary and chemistry that WWE, WWF, Gorilla Monsoon, and Bobby the Brain Heenan had.
I got you. Because Howard Cosell was a sports journalist, correct?
Yes. Sports commentator, yes. Howard Cosell got along famously with Muhammad Ali.
I remember seeing like clips of those from like doing reports and stuff on Muhammad Ali and just looking at his history.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Okay. Well, Pat the Bruiser, do you see Warhaas going up against any women's tag team that might be out there at the moment? Any women's tag team?
Yeah, we'll take on. Anybody,
any gender, any way. Yep, absolutely.
Well, Pat the Bruiser, have you come across a female wrestler, Casey Carlisle or Mickey Knuckles?
Have you come across either one of them?
I've been across Angel and Mickey Knuckles before.
Oh, okay. All right. How about a wrestler named the Liberal Progressive? Liberal Progressive out of Kentucky.
I don't think he has, but I've been on a show with him. Actually, I was there when they filmed his segment on the Daily Show.
Oh, okay. You were there. Very interesting. Okay. Well, Mr. Crosshair, thinking of women's tag team, both in the past and present, Judy Martin and Lalani Kai formed the Glamour Girls, and they wrestled in the mid-80s to early 90s in the golden era of WWE. This team held the WWF Tag Team Championships twice with a combined reign of 1,157 days. How well do you think Warhaas could have done against the Glamour Girls if you could time travel back to the 80s?
Oh, if we could time travel, I mean... Well, I mean, so, because that was the Women's World Tag Team Championships. I think we would fare pretty well. I mean, just based off a size advantage there, always comes down to, you know, experience and tact. So, you know, it's always a toss-up, but I think we would fare pretty well, pretty glamorous ourselves, in my opinion.
Mr. Crosshair, how well could you take a knife-edged shot from Lalani Kai? How do you think you would fare?
I mean, if you actually paid attention to that match with Ace Romero after that right hand he gave me at the finish, pretty sure I'll throw pretty well.
I saw that. That was a fearsome right hand. Yes, very fearsome. That may have raised a welt afterwards. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, Pat, same question. How could you have done against the tag team of Boss and Hug Connection? They were comprised of Bayley and Sasha Banks, who were later known on June 5th, 2020, as the Golden Role Models when they defeated Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. How well could you have done against Boss and Hug Connection?
That's why we can handle ourselves with anybody in the ring right now.
Be a good opportunity,
but we could definitely hang.
I can't believe it. It seemed just like yesterday that it was June 5th, 2020. Yes. And Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross were in the ring. Time has flown. Yes. Okay. Well, Mr. Kelly, did you turn out for sports in high school?
You said that I played sports in high school?
Yes.
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. What were they? I'm going to guess football and track and field.
Wrestling and golf, actually.
Oh, wow. All right. Wrestling and golf. Did you turn out all 4 years for wrestling?
Yes, I did, actually.
Well, okay. What was your ninth grade or freshman year in high school like for you in wrestling? Did you finish with a 50-50 record?
I did. Actually, no, I didn't because – no, actually, I did. I did pretty well. I made it through that, and then it was my sophomore years where I tore my ACL. So I did pretty good my first year because it was literally my first year wrestling ever. So did pretty solid. Not too bad, not too good, just somewhere in that nice between.
Okay. I'm going to guess for your freshman year you were in the 172-pound weight class.
Actually, no. I wrestled heavyweight my first year.
Oh, okay.
Was it?
All right.
Just couldn't lose the weight.
Now, in that sophomore year, you said you tore your ACL. At the high school level, boys are able to come back much more quicker from ACL injuries. How did you go about rehabilitating an ACL tear at the 10th grade level?
Found the best surgeon that I could find. He was the best at the time, and now he's the chief of orthopedic medicine at Children's Hospital. He actually...
Oh, chief of orthopedic. Okay. Wow. Okay.
But yeah, Dr. Pringle had a full-year protocol. So the first...
Oh, you cut out the bit. Can you still hear me?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Can you, Sign, I'm having a little bit of problem with the phone. Can you hear me, Sign?
I can hear you.
Okay. Cut out there. I just walked to another part of the room. Mr. Pat, did you also turn out for sports in high school?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. What were the sports that you turned out for?
I played football, I wrestled, and I threw discus and shot put in track and field.
Aha. Okay, now you're getting into my specialty. I myself have a discus and shot put that I am probably the only fan to bring a shot put and discus to an indie wrestling event. I'm going to guess you threw the shot put in high school. I'm guessing your best mark was 52 feet even.
It was about 44.
44?
I got that sport late. My technique wasn't the best. That was just all strength.
Oh, okay. Now, did you use the glide technique or the spin technique?
I glided.
Okay, glided. Okay. That's not bad, the 44 feet with a glide method. You probably could have gone up to 50 feet with a good spin technique. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you know that in 1990, Randy Barnes threw the 16-pound shot put 75 feet, 10 inches, and that record still stands today? Randy Barnes.
I did not know that, but that is an incredible feat.
Yes, and he didn't have the spin technique then, Randy Barnes.
75 glide bent?
But there's someone that's within about 1 foot and 3 inches of him, and his name is Ryan Krauser. So watch that world record to maybe fall this year, Pat. Yes. Okay. Well, Pat, how far was your furthest discus throw? I'm going to guess... You threw the discus 155 feet.
149.6. So far as I threw that bad boy.
Okay. Wow, that's very good. Okay. Well, Mr. Kelly, what's the longest road trip that Warhaas has taken together? Longest road trip.
With each other?
Yes.
North Carolina.
Okay. I'm going to guess that was a 4.5-hour trip one way, right?
No, about a 10-hour drive.
10 hours. Oh, boy. Did either of you load up on Taco Bell before the trip? That's what I'm asking.
No. We did not.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Kelly, were you a big fan of WWE superstar Jimmy Wang Yang?
Because I wrestled him, I would say yes. I was somewhat of a fan. I thought he was really cool with some of his techniques and his lucha and cruiserweight ability. He was a cruiserweight champion for a while and can still do all that stuff to this day. Solid wrestling mind, you know, gave really good feedback. And so, you know, mad respect for Jimmy.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Pat, when you were growing up, did you have backyard wrestling matches with the neighborhood kids? Did you build your own ring and have backyard matches?
I did not, actually. I was more of a sandlot football kid.
Oh, okay. So you probably had neighborhood football games.
Yes.
Did you ever have any neighborhood football games in snowstorms?
I have, actually. Yes, I have.
Oh, how deep was the snow? And did anyone get hit in the nose like Marsha Brady?
I think it was about 6-7 inches, and no one got hit in the face.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Kelly, if Warhaus could travel back in time, and this is not with a female tag team, how well could they have done against Booker T and Goldust?
That was a really fun tag team. You said back in time, I think we were going to go back to like the Brain Busters or something like that, but no, Goldust and Booker T were a really solid tag team. And honestly, I mean, Booker T still technically wrestling down at his promotion down in Texas, and Goldust literally just had one of the hottest matches on AEW in a long time against Brody Lee. So I think that would be a really good – I think that would be a really good opportunity to learn. And I think that would be a really fun match, actually, between them and us.
Well, Mr. Kelly, picture yourself outside the ring, and you took Booker T's place in the 7-Eleven, and Goldust came up on you and offered – you a bite of his weenie. Would you accept like Booker T did?
Have you heard?
No.
No. Okay. Have you seen that infamous clip in WWE history of the confrontation of Booker T and Goldust in the 7-Eleven? Have you seen that clip?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thanks, guys, for answering these questions. At this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Stein Guide.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, QT. Well, Crosshairs, as we start to move towards more and more independent companies resuming live events, obviously the wrestling world has changed, as has most of the aspects of the world in general. From what you can tell by things you're seeing as we start opening up more and more companies, what do you think are some of the changes that are going to stick around as far as live wrestling events for the foreseeable future?
I think that people are going to have to wear masks for a little bit longer. If anything, it'll become possibly optional, but that's probably way down the line. I believe that population control is still going to be a big thing. I think they're going to slowly increase that at times. I know Ohio's proposed population is 15% of the the total capacity of a building. So it just depends. I believe that the drive-in shows are going to be more of a staple. Some of the cinematic stuff has already been picked up real big as of late, too, with the indies and indie guys and indie workers and ladies. So wrestling is always and will always constantly evolve because there's so many great minds at work, you know, coming up with new ways to entertain the fans. So I think that some things will stay and things will change, and it's not going to do anything but help the wrestling business get better as time goes on.
Pat the Bruiser, obviously there's going to be changes as far as, like Crosshair said, like masks and capacity and that type of thing. Do you see anything that's going to have to change as far as what the wrestlers and the rest of the talent and the promoters do not necessarily in front of the fans, but maybe backstage things will have to be different, or they're going to have to change how a show appears in front of the fans as far as production, things like that?
Not really. The only differences I've really seen so far is said the mask said, and then of course most promoters have hired a crew now to have the security guys desanitize the ring in between each match. That's been
the temperatures and
The temperature checks and all the things you see just in everyday life just getting transferred over to the wrestling show. Like I said, the sanitizing of the rings, and then in the back. I mean, it's really nothing really has changed in the back. Maybe people might sit a little bit further apart, but it's a wrestling locker room. So at the end of the day, you guys are all, the wrestlers are out there performing in a ring without a mask on for the most part. So at the end of the day, we're all there. We're all brothers using the back of that locker room. So,
Alan, 2020 as we're going through the second half of the year and things are just now getting back on track, it became more apparent and a little bit more important that streaming services and television for wrestling might be something that's going to pick up more and more stream as people feel safer streaming shows from the safety of their home and just watching televised shows as opposed to going out for a while. Crosshairs, do you see more companies looking into getting their shows either streamed on one of the platforms or picking up a television deal?
I know that there are a lot of people already stream now just because, once again, it goes back to the whole marketing and branding. You know, you're getting your material out there. You're creating a platform to present your talent to, you know, to a different market or a wider brand. You know, you have the different independent networks like ICWTV, and then IWTV, and then like so you have these different platforms and these different things where people can upload, you know, footage. So I know there have been posts that I've seen where fans have literally said that they would prefer to go to a show versus streaming one, because a wrestling show provides you with an experience, and that's another reason why I always say that people need to experience us as a team, because like seeing us is one thing. When you watch us, you know, you watch a highlight video or you watch a match on YouTube or wherever, but when you experience a professional wrestling show live, there is nothing like it on the face of this planet, because you smell it, you see it, you hear it, like you feel it. It's everything is around you, just encompasses wrestling. From the way that one person reacts to the way that another person reacts to a way that the wrestler reacts to that person or to their opponent in the ring or to the referee. Like everybody is entangled in this web of electricity. And so there's nothing like being at a live show, and fans have made that very clear.
I definitely agree with you there. Being live is a completely different experience. Pat the Bruiser, when you wrestle, do you wrestle differently when something's being either streamed live or broadcast on television than you would if it was just a standard show in front of just the paying fans?
No. My wrestling stays the same no matter who I'm in the ring with, no matter where the match is being seen, shot, whatever. I don't wrestle any different. I wrestle the same way in every match that I do.
All right. Well, guys, we have a few minutes left here in the show, and I want to make sure you have ample time. If there's anything you'd like to say, plug and promote, anything you want, social media, shows, merchandise, your favorite barbershop, whatever. CrossFit Carly, why don't you go ahead and say what you'd like?
Okay, so you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at WarhausMDK.
That's our tag team pages. You can also follow me on Instagram and Twitter at crosshairs_Kelly. Just Crosshairs Kelly on Facebook. And then you can also follow Pat the Bruiser at bruising_Pat on Instagram and I believe Twitter as well.
It's
HB_bruisingpat on Twitter. And then also you can check us out on Pro Wrestling Tees, obviously Warhawks and BK. Currently our most recent design out that we have out is a pull from Demolition Man. It's the Demolition Hall shirt. It's pretty cool. So, and then also, if you would like to see us perform, we are actually on the road next next week. We are at Gali Lucha Libre in Illinois, Chicago. And then that following week, we are in Mount Vernon, Illinois for IWA Productions. So.
All right, Pat the Bruiser, anything you want to say, plug, or promote?
You pretty much covered it all right there. Go give the Warhawks pages some following.
Like, follow, share. Like, follow, share.
Absolutely. Guys, I want to thank both of you very much for taking time out of your day to be with us, and we appreciate it greatly. Hopefully we will see you doing some great things in the near future, and I look forward to continue to watch from afar and see what the team of Warhawks does.
We truly appreciate it, and we thank you for having us on.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Fans, definitely, if you get the chance to see Warhawks, buy yourself a ticket. I think you're going to see a lot out of this great tag team in the near future. Two very, very talented guys. They're doing great things. So make sure you support them on the social media. Support them by buying tickets, what have you. And also, as we're getting ready to wrap this up, I want to make note that earlier this week, the Wrestling World lost Puppet the Psycho Dwarf. He was a staple of the early days of TNA wrestling. He was also with some of the all-midget professional wrestling promotions. Great performer. We lost him at an early age, so we want to send our condolences out to the family, fans, and friends of Puppet. Also on a note, you can join us right here on Turnbuckle Turmoil on Sunday afternoon. We will have our sports entertainer salute to basketball. We're going to have various professional wrestlers that also played basketball at various levels, talking about the link between the two sports and discussing their days in both. That should be a fascinating show. We will also have with you a 1 week from today, Gary Galaxy, great competitor out of the Las Vegas area. I think you're going to be very intrigued by what he has to say. Very interesting wrestler. So make sure you have plans to be with us. And if you have wrestling shows near you, get out there and support your local wrestling. Especially right now, promotions definitely could use the support as they return to business after the long layoff. So definitely get out there and support them so they can continue doing what they do best and providing great wrestling entertainment for all the fans. We also want to send our congratulations out to a couple of wrestlers getting married tomorrow over in Idaho. Callie's Best Jay Cruz and Kiki Starling gonna get married in the Boise area, so congratulations to them. And Lance Dean, here in our own Pacific Northwest, will be getting married to his longtime fiance tomorrow as well. He provided some information on how to find the wedding last week. That has changed due to the wildfires. So I believe the wedding is on location and possibly the time has changed. But we wish Lance and his fiance the best as they get married tomorrow. So I think we are wrapping things up, and we appreciate you being with us. Get out there on the social medias, like and follow, and we will talk to you on Sunday afternoon.